Hello, welcome to Who is in the Garden here on Carib Voice Radio. It's time to take a moment to pause, breathe, and refresh with Adiayo. So why don't you take a seat, have a drink before you continue on life's journey. Hello, how are you? What's been happening? My heart goes out to all the people in the state of Florida. Residents of Florida, we're praying for you. We're looking at the news, we're seeing the videos and the pictures coming in, and I know that it's nothing compared to what is happening to you over there, and our hearts going out to you, and we're trusting God to take you through this literal storm. We've been looking at that stuff, the widespread destruction, but we thank you. We thank God for the rescue efforts. We thank God for, you know, that prospects of, I know it's going to be a long recovery from both Milton and Helen, but we're trusting God to see you through. As you go through this, we know that there's been power outage, there's been gas shortage and all that, but we're thankful for life. We're thankful for the little boy that was rescued after Milton. We're thankful to God that despite everything, the state of Florida, the city of Florida is actually still standing, regardless of the sinkholes and the huge devastation that we can see. We're thankful that, you know, people are still standing, humanity is still speaking, and we know that the aftermath is going to take a while, but we're grateful to God. So please don't lose hope, don't lose faith. We know that things are going to be a little difficult, but You're going to get through it. Please don't lose hope. You're going to get through it, no matter how terrible it feels and it looks right now. You're going to get through it. You're going to bounce back. You're going to bounce back stronger. You're stronger than you think right now. And I know it's going to be difficult, but I know that it's going to be something that you are going to be able to do. So don't give up hope. Don't lose faith, because you are going to get through this. Okay? You're going to get this. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. Our hearts are with you. Our hearts are with you, and we're trusting God for you, with you. In this time of need, the winds came in strong, and it's ironic thinking about it now. It's ironic what the Spirit of God had put in my heart to share. It's quite ironic because I'm going to be supposed to be sharing this in church tomorrow during the prayer session for Nigeria. And I felt strongly to also have to share it here. And as I begin to want to talk about it, it just suddenly begins to make sense. And in my sound, please forgive me, I have a cold. So I'm going to be doing a lot of sniffing, obviously. Do bear with me. Okay. So I know that not just in Florida or in the Barbados that experienced different storms in the last couple of months, the people of Nigeria have their own kind of storms, and they're not weather storms. Okay, Nigeria seems to be going through its own storms. Well, ironically, it seems Nigeria always has a storm to go through, but recently the storms seem to be raging even stronger. Okay, and like I said, for Nigeria, they aren't weather storms, they are economic storms, they are governmental storms and all that. And those kind of storms have a way of shaking the very foundation of a people, So while I was looking at the Milton and the Helen and excuse me, the other storms that have come, this scripture actually makes a lot of sense. Okay, Ezekiel 11, sorry, Ecclesiastes, sorry, do forgive me, Ecclesiastes 11, verses 4 to 6. And it says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant, and those who don't plant will have nothing to harvest. And it's ironic because that scripture talks about the word wind. There's a word wind there, but I was reading from the NIV. If you wait for perfect conditions, you never get anything done. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant, and those who don't plant will have nothing to harvest. That's from the NIV. But if you look at that same scripture from the NLT, let's take a look at that at the end from the NLT. Oh boy, my nose. Yeah, so if you take that from the NLT, Ecclesiastes 11, 4 to 6, it says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mischief of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. He's plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. Look at verse 4. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind. I like that part. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind. Now, storms are going to be raging literally in Florida, in the Barbados, in the US. Storms have literally been raging. But for those of us on in the other parts of the world who don't have literal storms, but have economic storms, but have governmental storms, you see, it says, so it's saying to us here that if you look at the conditions of the things around you, you're never going to get anything done. Now, I like the Amplified version. Amplified says, he who watches the wind, waiting for all conditions to be perfect, will not sow seed. And he who looks at the clouds will not reap a harvest. Just as you do not know the way and the path of the wind, or how the bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, even so, you do not know the activity of God who makes all things perfect. And I feel so strongly in my spirit that God is going to be asking people to do certain things in this season, as difficult as it is, as terrible and as uncomfortable as it is right now. God will be asking people to do certain things. I am not talking about financial seed right now. No, I am not. I am talking about a demand of God upon your spirit, upon your life, upon your circumstances, regardless of what is presently and currently happening around you. Oh, but that sounds so insensitive. How could you be talking like this right now? Trust me. Okay, so you see, the children of Israel were in the wilderness. Apparently, they had been grumbling, they had been whining, they had been complaining against God to Mo and against Moses for bringing them into the wilderness, into through the Red Sea. They had just forgotten that they had, you know, walked through the Red Sea and all that. And they kept shouting, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, nor is there any water, and we load this roof." Well, that's not even the context in which I want to bring it in. You see, so the Lord sent fiery burning serpents among the people. And people were being beaten by the snakes, and the people died. I guess it now finally dawned on them that whatever it is that is happening to us right now is as a result of what we had done. And so they came back to Moses and they said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. So pray to the Lord so that he will remove the serpents from us." So Moses prayed, and then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent of bronze and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten will leave when he looks at it." Now, that's where I want to take it from, okay? Make a brazen serpent, make a fiery serpent of bronze, and set it on a pole, and tell them, look at it. Everyone who is bitten, who looks at it, will leave. Now, what is your natural instinct when something bites you? Your natural instinct is to hit that spot, to look at the spot, to pay attention to the spot, to pay attention to the bite, to find ways to alleviate the pain, to find ways to deal with whatever it is that bit you in the first place. But that wasn't God's approach right now. God's approach was, look at the brazen serpent. Forget about what's hurting. Forget about what's biting. Forget about melting that has devastated everywhere. Forget about Helen that came and started the assignment. Forget about what has happened. Creation is responding, is reacting to everything around it. Creation is just reacting to everything. And God is saying, you know what? Forget about what's happening in the Nigerian economy. Forget about what's happening with the hurricanes. Forget about the government of the nations doing their thing. Forget about the occultists doing their stuff. Forget about how bad things are and what's hurting you and what's biting you and what's seeking your attention. There are so many things seeking our attention. There are so many things trying to take our attention away from God. But God is saying, I really don't want you to pay attention. I know that those things are biting you. I know that the storm is raging. I know that the government of the world are misbehaving. I know that your mortgage is due. I know that your house was probably destroyed in the hurricane. I know that you can't pay your children's school fees. I know that everything is going haywire right now. But I believe strongly, just as he was telling me, God, there's a demand on us to keep our eyes fixed on him. Keep our eyes fixed on him. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent of bronze and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, have you been bitten? Have you been hurt? Have you been going through a tough part? Are you unsure of what's going to happen next? Have your life savings, your life investments just been destroyed? It says, look at me. Look at me. And you know, God has a wonderful sense of humor. I have a cold. I have a terrible cold. But I can tell you that in this week alone, in this weekend alone, since the cold intensified, I've had to lead different meetings regardless of how I feel. I want to be on my bed. I want to not talk to anybody. I don't want to pray for anybody. I don't want to pray with anybody. But you see, I have the cold, but the demand to get my mind off the cold and do the things I need to do for him, with him, have come up even more this week. I remember a time I was badly heartbroken and I was struggling to just stay sane. And I can vividly remember that day, right in the middle of my tears, I got a phone call. I want to teach and lead a prayer meeting. I'm like, what? And I can't say no. And I know that is trivial compared to whatever it is you're going through right now. It's definitely trivial compared to those fairy serpents that were biting the children of Israel. But I believe strongly that God wants to lay a demand on you, and God is going to be laying a demand on you. I know you may be smack right now in the middle of that hurricane, and there's somebody beside you who needs the same comfort and the same love that you do, and you have no choice but to show that person love. Yeah, my dog is howling. And you have no choice but to show that person the same kind of love that you would wish somebody could show you. I get it. Don't let go of your humanity. Don't let go of looking onto Jesus right now. I know it's tough. I know it's difficult. I know it's the instinctive thing for you to do is just lock up, as we would say it here, and just focus on yourself. And just focus on yourself. But I believe strongly that now more than ever, God needs us to look to Him, not away from Him. Don't try and solve the problem yourself. Don't try to find your own way. Don't try to make things work your own way. No, there's a way that's meant right to a man, but the end is usually destruction. I want you to find a way to honor love this period. In my country right now, it just seems as if the more you exercise your faith and trust God, the more the government does something to test that faith. Okay? So I understand it, that I know somebody may have just been ready to settle down and, you know, have everything in place, and then this hurricane comes, or life's battle just hits you, or whatever it is, wherever you are, something just happened. You thought you were just about to get your space, you're just about to settle in, and then boom, something just happens. Don't take your eyes on Jesus. Don't take your eyes on Jesus. Just keep your eyes locked on Him. Keep your heart locked in to Him, and I know beyond a shadow of doubt that you will get through it. I know beyond a shadow of doubt that those things would suddenly seem so light, so inconsequential to the grand scheme of things. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and then loses his soul? You may wonder, what do you mean? Why can't I gain the whole world and not lose my soul? Well, if you know you can gain the whole world and still not lose your soul, glory to God. Glory to God. But many of us are aware that the cost of gaining the whole world comes at the cost of your soul. And is it worth it? A colleague of mine, well, she's no longer a colleague, but an acquaintance of mine sent me a voice note saying, I saw her status and I was trying to encourage her. I said, you know what, just keep pushing, don't give up, you've come a long way and all that. And she just kept saying, you know what, imagine somebody said I should come and join an occultic group, I should stop stressing myself, I should come join the occult, and she called the certain name of the occultic group, which I won't call the name, said, come and join this occultic group, they're going to help you. You're going to do well. You're not going to keep struggling like this. Just keep struggling up and down. Why don't you just join? And I'm like, don't you dare. Don't you dare. What will it profit you to gain the whole world? What will it profit you to gain that contract? What will it profit you to gain that status? What will it profit you to gain all the money in the world, and in the end, you lose your soul? Because nothing you gain here will make any difference the moment you die. Have you ever thought about that? That all this hustle, all this bustle, all this stress, the moment we stop breathing, it doesn't matter at all. That's why I always say, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't really matter how badly the mistakes you've made, how bad mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter how far down the road you've gone. And don't tell me you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. Really. You see, everybody that Jesus used was a mess. It's time to drop the mess at his feet and pick up his mercy. It's time to drop the mess at his feet and keep your heart and your heart and your mind locked on him. And no matter what the distractions, no matter the snakes, no matter the hurt, no matter the fire, no matter the storm, no matter the wind, the rain, no matter the government policies, no matter the government idiosyncrasies, whatever it is, once your heart and your mind is locked on to Jesus, you will live, you will thrive, you will survive. Because if you can keep your soul for him, if you can stay in his will, you would have gained the most. You would have gained everything. I'm not trying to trivialize the storms you're going through. I will be the last person to do that. But I'm saying that if you can keep your heart on him, if you can keep your mind stayed on him, you will have perfect peace, because you will know that your protection, your preservation, your life, your validation, your provision, everything comes from, through, and by him. Nothing was made that is made that did not come from him. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. I keep saying that this year, I remember my pastor in church saying there are going to be so many shakings, there are going to be so many things, but there's going to be one constant. And the instant I said yes, God is going to be the constant through it all. Have things changed? Oh yes. For instance, in my country, in the last 1 year, the cost of fuel has gone from 169 to 1,200 in pretty much about a year. That's crazy. The inflation rate is 30-something%. It's crazy. But you see, the goal is to cause our eyes to shift. The goal is to cause our eyes to shift. It's to cause us to panic. It's to cause us to be anxious. But the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. I've had to remind myself of those scriptures. Oh, there are times that a coach will call me and I would be so worried. And he'll tell me, don't worry. And I'll be like, yes, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Just keep thanking God for everything. So yes, I go through those times too when I begin to wonder, God, but what are you doing? I build up my faith for something, and one policy somewhere, just one action somewhere, just somebody's insensitivity somewhere, or even nature itself just knocks it all off, and I had to trust you all over again and build my faith all over again and look to you always, looking to you always, because you see, Jesus is the author and is the finisher of our faith. So wherever you are at, regardless of what life has thrown at you or is throwing at you, please do not take your eyes off Jesus. Do not take your heart off Jesus. Do not look at the weather conditions, whether physical weather, whether economic weather, whether government, whatever. Don't look at the weathers. Don't look at the storms. Don't look at the difficulties. Because if you do, you will take your heart off Jesus. Don't. Never take your eyes off Jesus. That was why Peter began to drown. He took his eyes off Jesus. Peter took his eyes off Jesus and he began to drown. I pray for you today. I join my faith with you that the same way I'm building my faith, the same comfort that I have received, I release to you, that your heart will stay on him. I pray for grace to keep your heart stayed on him. I pray for grace to keep your heart stayed on him. I pray that no matter what the enemy throws at you, your heart will be steadfast. Your heart will be solid. Your heart will be fixed on Jesus. You will not drown. You will not drown. You will not drown. You will not drown in the name of Jesus. Your heart is stayed. I speak strength into your inner man. Let your heart be strengthened. Let your heart be strengthened. Let your mind be strengthened. Let your mind be renewed in the name of Jesus. And may help come from you, come for you speedily in the name of Jesus. May help come for you speedily. May doors of help open up to you. May doors of opportunity open up to you. May doors of restoration open up to you in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you. Yes. Take care of your garden this week. Be mindful of the things you allow and permit into your garden. Whatever it is that will cause your heart to stray and wander and shift from keeping your focus on Jesus. Be mindful and make sure you keep your heart stayed on Him. Till I see you next week, till I hear from you, till I come your way next week. Remember, God loves you. I love you, but God loves you more. Bye.